Don't forget to hit record. You already did. Never mind.
Back in my day.
Welcome to the V Community Podcast, a show for the V Community by the V Community. If you haven't joined us before, we welcome you to the show, and we also welcome you to join us on our Discord server where this all started. We are an open group of folks from all walks of technology space and across the globe. On this podcast, we welcome anyone to bring a topic, come and join us, come and host the show, and be part of our little community that we're trying to grow here. If you'd like to come and join us, just you can go to our website at vcommunity.io. And we'll throw a link in the show notes. But what we are going to talk about tonight is we've got a few of our co-hosts on, and we'd like to discuss about the Broadcom acquisition and what's happening in that space. So joining me tonight, we've got Joe Hughes, Tyler Jurgens, Sean Massey, and Tim Smith. Welcome, guys.
Howdy, howdy.
Hello.
G'day.
Oh yeah, and Sean's cat.
yeah, and my cat, who will make himself known throughout this call.
Very nice.
What's your cat's name, Sean?
My cat's name is Jockey.
Well, everyone say hello to Jockey. Hello, Jockey.
Howdy, Jockey.
Well, might as well since go through and do some intros, right? Since the first episode.
Yep.
I don't know any of you guys.
Obligatory, who's this person?
We got the cat out of the way. Kieran, why don't you start?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So I'm Kieran, and obviously I'm not from the United States, unlike most of the others on this show, or even United States hat. But I'm a virtualization and backup technologist here in Brisbane, Australia. And jump into as many communities as I can, the expert community, the VM community, just like to have a bit of fun with those. So, yeah.
Sean, since you've got the cat, let's...
Sure, why not? Well, the cat won't be a problem now, but hi everyone, Sean Massey, formerly of VMware, now currently kind of in between trying to figure out my next thing. I primarily come at this from the virtualization and the end user computing space, where I've been heavily involved in the vExpert community and a lot of the EUC community. So yeah, that's about it for me.
Tyler?
I'm Tyler Jurgens, virtualization backup administrator, primarily working with service providers here in Canada. So like you're not in the States, but pretty close. Yes, I've been working with virtualization for many years and just kind of started getting more involved with the community over the last couple of years. Run the Calgary VMUG out here in Calgary, and also now a Veeam user group leader for Canada. So yeah, love the community, love to be involved.
And of course, we've got our only engineer on the call, Joe Hughes.
Choo-choo. Howdy, y'all. Joe Hughes, geek of all trades, master of nothing other than holding down carpet squares and converting oxygen. Legitimately, I'm a serial collector of communities. It's kind of like the sad running joke. Still a user group leader for VMUG user group, PowerShell user group. Oh, good Lord. Let's run through the list now. It's what? Microsoft MVP, VMware vExpert, Veeam Vanguard, Tanzu Vanguard, Cisco Champion, still occasionally hosts. On V Brown Bag, and do other geeky things on the side as well. So yeah, I'm addicted, and basically everybody just knows I can't say no when volunteer activities come up. So, all right, Timbits, bring it home.
Yeah, Tim, VMUG community leader too for Cincinnati area. Veeam for like 7 or 8 years. I've kind of lost track, right? Started like everybody else did, figuring out what this new VMware thing was back in the day. Did a vMotion, got hooked. And that's been my life, working with the VARs and now a vendor and enjoying it. And curious to see where it's all going to go now with the acquisition, right?
Yeah, sure.
I'm just laughing.
Never read the chat. Yeah.
Never read the chat. Timbits, Tim Tams.
Yep.
I've heard all the Tims.
Yeah. You should just be glad that I can't drop images in the chat, Tim, because I would start going through my Timbits folder of all my my backlog of pictures of you. So.
Oh, man. That's one of the best things about community is the memes, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Owning domains so you control your friends around the globe. It's so much fun. Speaking of which, I feel like Kieran, you gotta drop the link. We gotta get it in early and make sure we get it in at the end.
The only farmed off fans. Well, link.
I meant the other one. Jeez, man.
I mean, if people listen to the intro, should have heard it, but you know. Clearly, Joe, you didn't. So for those, it's vcommunity.io. And that'll take you through to our Discord channel where you can sign up and come and join us. There's quite a few channels there. There's technology channels that break out into different sorts of disciplines, whether it's specialization, networking. There's also other channels that are non-technical. We have a finance channel. Which none of that is financial advice. Make that clear. we're just talking about our walks of life and in our finance. But outside of that, we've also got there's a shenanigans one.
My favorite.
Lots of shenanigans going on there. What else have we got? We got, I should actually have this open and go through.
Manscaping.
Yeah, there's a manscaping.
Can't forget that one. Yeah.
Look,
in a serious note, we got the mental health channel. That's a great one.
That is.
And what really grinds my gears?
The Chris Colati complaining channel.
I feel like we should retitle that to just Colati Rants.
I love it.
In honor of him.
Is that shenanigans?
Kind of both, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of both. I was just looking, too. We've got... And we're usually touching around like 100 active users, but there's 300 total actually signed up for this Discord. So handful of people, right, just pop in and out every now and then. But it's grown quite a bit in, what, the last year and a half, 2 years?
Year? No, we started it in December because it was after the Leader Summit. So it's only been maybe 14 months. So yeah. Not too bad.
Not bad at all.
Yeah. Well, and so the funny thing that actually came out of it around this time last year was we had a significant influx of people that jumped on the server when they were not renewed for VExpert last year. So I guess since it is announcement day, I assume everybody got back in. I think I saw everybody's in. Hopefully we're not calling anybody out live on not making it.
Aww. I think
I'll be the first one to say I got booted out of VExpert Pro like 4 days after I got my lovely little award here for most helpful VExpert Pro of the year because I forgot to reapply. I thought it was an auto in year and I was out.
Oh no.
It happens.
I think we saw a large influx too, because that was around the time, right, when Twitter was going X and Elon had purchased it, so everybody was like, I'm leaving Twitter, and so it kind of just kind of worked out.
Gosh, what did we end up with then? We got, what was it? It was what, Mastodon, Blue Sky, I can't even remember
Threads.
Oh, Threads, yeah. Oh, geez.
Just the worst.
Yeah.
I still get pop-ups saying, come and join your friends, Tim and Joe on Threads. No.
I'm not there.
Oh,
I'm not there and I'm not your friend. No.
Wow. Cutting deep right away, Tim. Well, that's the thing about the other ones. Like, Twitter's, everybody's still on Twitter, right? Nobody really left. And the other ones, you know, you try to get people on Blue Sky or whatnot, but it's slim pickings out there.
Oh, yeah. Everybody was trying to chase down invites, and then we all got on, and, like, none of us are active.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's tough. I didn't realize the V Community Discord was so new. I mean, I feel like I've been on for almost a year now. But yeah, it's that's incredible.
Good yeah, job. It's been over a year now. It's been about 18 months, probably. October 22. I think it was around that time.
Okay.
No, yeah. No, we started it in December of 22. Because it was after we had the leadership that we spun it up. Yeah.
How many domain renewals have you done so far, Tim?
You know, I just set it to automatic, so I don't even pay attention to it, honestly.
Yeah, it gets dangerous when you actually have to go look at how many domains you have registered. Like, that's never a good thing.
Yeah, the webpage for it is just hosted on a Cloudflare static page, so I don't need to do anything there either. So it works out nice.
Hmm. And then you've got the Veeam community one that you started with the thought of Reddit going under as well. When all those shenanigans happened.
Yo, that's right. Yeah. Because Reddit, what was it that happened? I don't even remember.
They changed something with their like API policy or their
privacy policy. They're gonna charge for access. Yeah
that's right. That was it. And a bunch of communities were going dark, and yeah, people were claiming they were going to leave. And
yeah,
it's like a U.S. election year, right? Everybody's like, I'm leaving the country if the person I'm voting for doesn't win.
Yeah, so, happen to see Canada. That news article? Yeah, there was a family that decided to move to Russia, apparently, to try and escape the shenanigans here in the U.S. And I was like, interesting choice.
Yeah, it apparently did not go very well.
I'd have maybe gone to like New Zealand or something, right? I mean, like, unless there's a Hobbit uprising, you're probably pretty safe.
You can go bunk with Karen in Australia, right? Like, you'll put you up.
Well, we got a bit of room, but
but if you go to Australia, you have to be careful because everything there is trying to kill you.
Only if you're not Australian.
Like the suggestion about Karen, but okay.
Yeah, my 6-year-old had to like give me a book report of everything he had learned on Wildcrats that was going to kill me when I was going to be there for 2 weeks. So that was fun.
That's awesome.
He gave me a little picture guidebook to like take with me to, you know, be on the lookout for these are going to kill you, but this Gila monster is pretty cool. So if you see one, like, don't run so fast that you can't give me a good picture. So he cares.
That's valid. That's valid. I'm glad.
So speaking of the everybody leaving Twitter, everybody leaving Reddit, right, which didn't really happen. Broadcom, I mean, is that everybody's, if you look at Reddit, like everybody's like, I'm leaving VMware and I'm leaving this and I'm going to, you know, Proxmox that has like no support right now and all these other things,
XCPNG.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
The Zen server fork. Yeah.
Open source Zen server.
Yeah.
I hear Verge.io is where it's at. This is not sponsored at all.
I mean, I've actually been hands-on with Verge.io.
You know,
I won't go negative, but it was amusing to have to try and help an SE that had somebody that sent them a literal link to a Reddit thread and said, what do you know about this VMware alternative? And I was like, wow, really? Just no effort.
I remember back, I don't even remember how many VMworlds ago it was, but Scale Computing was at VMworld, right? And they didn't run VMware or anything. They were just their own little three-node hyper-converged cluster. And they're still around. I really liked them. The company I worked for never sold them. And you know, it's clearly just an SMB play, but so I feel like they kind of missed the mark and could have been a lot larger.
Yeah.
Player.
I was talking to their team just back at, gosh, what was the conference that was in Austin? Spice World. Mm-hmm. I was down there again to present and do some community stuff. And yeah, the whole team was there other than Collier, who's now moved over to AMD. But I was like, man, you guys had like such an opportunity. You just kind of missed it. And I still feel like right now would be a prime time for them to actually try and get in front of some folks. And I don't really see it anywhere. So,
because aren't they just a KVM based as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Most are these days, aren't they? Most alternatives out there. I don't know if there's too many. I mean, the XPNG, their Zen server fork, but most others, I mean, virch.io, they're a FreeBSD base. But the others, I think, are mostly KVM, right?
They are. Proxmox is KVM. Mm-hmm. Nutanix AHV is KVM. Mm-hmm. Scale is KVM. I mean, I think pretty much anybody who's trying to do an alternative that isn't Microsoft is building it on KVM. I mean, even I think Google Cloud and AWS are KVM too.
I'm a little scared.
Hyper-V.
Yeah. Hyper-V, right?
Yeah.
Hey, man. You know, I get to flex my PowerShell.
Microsoft's bit has always been, we're not first, we might not be best, but give us time and we'll let have everybody on our platform anyway.
They get the enterprise play. Like that's, and yeah, especially with Broadcom imploding everything vSphere right now, like, there's a lot of companies that are just going to be like, meh, it's good enough.
Well, yeah, right, especially right. MSPs and that are dealing with their small customers that are running Hyper-V because they might just have their two servers that they're hosting. Heck, I've got a few customers that are running Hyper-V now, but in our cloud, we're running vSphere. Doesn't mean, I'm not saying that we're going to move to that. We're looking at potentially other options. We might stay with vSphere. But because we've got that experience of running Hyper-V at that level as well, that is an option of if you look at the training side of it. So right, like the options are out there because DigitalOcean, they run KVM, QEMU, but then they built their own platform on top of that as well as a cloud provider. And there's a few others that are doing similar sort of builds. So the options are there.
Yeah.
But is it worth it?
Well, and I was talking to a buddy who still works at an MSP, and he said for most of his smaller customers, you know, a single host, maybe two hosts, that's what they're flipping them to, Hyper-V. It's just, it's easy. It's there. It works. They can patch it. You know, you don't have to jump through a bunch of hoops or anything like that. And you don't have to deal with the license renewals that are kind of biting a few people right now with the VMware. So, you know, there's options, but I was looking at the market share the other day for a fairly recent report put on 2023. And, you know, VMware's got 89% of that on-prem market. The next closest is Hyper-V with 4%.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
When you look at your Hyper-V and changing from those small customers that have two or three VMs or even 10 VMs, moving to Hyper-V at a cost perspective, it's not too bad. Mm-hmm. But when you're a cloud provider, you're looking hundreds of thousands potentially in just the conversion cost rather than licensing on top or any of those additional changes. Like, is it worth moving at that point in time? Or do you just stay with vSphere and somehow it works out that you end up paying a cheaper price as well? What do you look at? How do you...
Well, and you know the pain on that one as much as I do. I mean, there's very little in the ecosystem that can do what service providers are doing today with the VMware stack, right? You just don't get that option. You don't get the cloud director with anything Microsoft related. You don't get the every partner supports backing up, you know, VMware or restoring to VMware. I mean, there's a play out there right now, even for other vendors like Veeam and Zerto to start doing cross hypervisor replication, where now you could have them, you know, replicating into a service provider and they don't have to be using VMware or Hyper-V on-premise.
So I'm going to bring up the C word. I heard somebody say that this is going to make people want to move to the cloud. And like, it's just so expensive. You're not going to save any money moving to the cloud. Like if you think your VMware renewal is expensive, I think Azure and AWS, right, within the last 3 years had doubled their costs to the customer. So, and then that's assuming you're going to replatform everything and not just stick it up in an EC2 instance or an Azure VM.
Well, and usually that's the first thing, right? It's like, we got to move it. So it either goes to like an EC2 Azure VM sort of thing, or you're still paying for, AVS or VMC. And then, it's not even necessarily the cost of the services that are going to get you. It's going to be the cost of the bandwidth, right? Because Microsoft and Amazon, they'll let you get your data in for free. But, to get it out, you need a kidney every month in order to afford that bandwidth cost, because that's where they really get you. So, and I think that's the thing that has killed a lot of cloud migrations. It's like, well, our normal cost was fine, right? Like our workload instances and everything hit our budget, but we have all this, networking cost that we didn't plan for, we didn't know how to forecast for. And you blew a year's worth of cloud budget in 3 months. So,
yeah, I hear those horror stories. And like when you go into the cloud, you almost can't just dip your toe in. And it might work a little differently for people in large cities, but up here in Canada, you got a lot of people out in, smaller rural areas. You're either shifting everything into the cloud or nothing, because the latency to get up into one of the clouds from where you are on-prem is so high that people just get frustrated with using it. So you're shifting everything, and then you're doing like EUC in the cloud as well, right?
Yeah, I think really the markets, right? You've got your SMB, your commercial, and your enterprise. I don't see enterprise really going away from VMware. They're going to just pay the bill. That's who VMware wants. They're going to make it work. SMB, I think the Hyper-V play is probably going to be good enough. I think my biggest issue with Hyper-V is just, I want a real clustered file system. I don't want a cluster file system on top of a non-clustered file system. It's just historically caused issues. But I don't know what the commercial side of this is going to be. The SMB, the easy way, right? They've got lots of options, and they might just handle support by an MSP. So not care that Proxmox doesn't do 24/7/365. That's good enough for them. But, what are the mid-market players? Where do they go?
I think some of it depends on like really how much they actually built into their private cloud practice. Because if they just need virtualization just for the reduction of resources that they're using, then they can kind of pick anyone and they're just going to have to retool some stuff. But anybody that was actually bought in on vSAN or NSX or doing lots of automation, or especially now with like Avi and the advanced load balancing and all the other obscure things that anybody could basically do a complete build your own a la carte offering of private cloud stuff, they're the ones that are really going to be like stuck the worst. Other than some folks like, not having academic SKUs, like that's going to hurt a lot of folks, right? That cost is just something that's absolutely unexpected. We're actually trying to get some confirmation back. We heard from two different sources just yesterday and maybe the day before that a couple of government agencies were actually told that VVF was not available to them, and they were having to uplift to VCF. And it sounded like it was potentially because of the support and them needing 24/7. I don't know, totally unsure if that might even just be a VAR that's got bad information, which leads to another point. I feel like one of the worst problems with all of this has just been the news releases were terrible. They were all way very, very not timely, or the like, oh, hey, we're canceling the partner program and it's going to be an invite only. And then a week later, oh, hey, everyone's reinvited. We'll sort it out on the back end.
Right.
But that week of nothing in between, Reddit was aflame with, you know, oh my gosh, what's going on? It's the end of the world. Right. Oh, by the way, it's also Taco Tuesday. So who knows? You know,
now I want tacos. Thanks, Joe.
Yep.
You know, it's even more than a week. I mean, the email went out in November, like right after the deal closed. Yeah. We all got the email saying the partner program, service provider program, those are done and you'll get an invite later. And it wasn't until January that people even got an invite.
We only got ours this week. So
right?
It's yeah.
And it was even worse than that. They like did it between Christmas and New Year's. I think is like a right around Christmas is when a lot of that stuff started going out, when everybody's winding down for the year. They think they have like this easy coast until the beginning of the next fiscal year. And then all this stuff starts coming out. And Joe, you know, I think that's, you kind of hit one of the big points here and probably one of the biggest causes of frustration is just how this communication has been handled, right? It feels rushed. Like, it's like, we have to make these changes now and not giving time for things to settle in and people to adapt to the change because, right, this is probably, you know, well, obviously, this is the biggest change for VMware ever, right? In all the acquisitions, it's kind of been held out on its own, and now it's not. And it's... it almost feels like, you know, the new owners come in and they're like, okay, we're going to rip all this out and, you know, replace it with what we need without giving time for things to settle.
Yeah, the communication has been, well, I mean, even the communication in the beginning, right? Like, we're going to buy VMware. And then the rumor mill starts about who's going to be, you know, let go, who's not going to be let go. And then the communication and how that was handled, right? Because the acquisition got delayed, right? Mm-hmm. Because some countries were saying, we're going to block this. And then it was approved. And, right, I think in the U.S. it was pretty much immediate. EU, they have more restrictions around, right, how you can let go employees. And, I mean, just even, and now it's just about all the SKUs and the products and the licensing. I feel... like, I don't even know the product anymore because everything has changed so much in just the license. Like, technically, I know the product, right? But if you were to ask me how it's bundled anymore or how it's sold anymore or any of that, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, because it was, you buy this, you buy this, you buy this, and that was it. Simple as that. Now it's, you either buy this bundle, which includes all of these, or you buy this little thing, and then you might be able to add on this, this, and this. And that's just confusing. Like, it's not as simple. I want that product. I want that product. And I've got to pay so many points for that. I want that on top. It's an additional 2 or 3 points.
Downloading the new product list and the price sheet from the partner portal, I was like, I am totally lost now. I do not understand, which stinks too, because it's all sold as the, like, here's our drastic simplification of the portfolio. But instead of now knowing what a product is and just figuring out which ones you need to add together, you have to try and figure out which flavor of which bundle. It's almost like having to try and decipher the acronyms of whatever flavor of Tanzu you're using for the day.
Now, I will...
Come on.
I feel like if I just close my eyes here and pretend that I'm just a business executive that doesn't know any technology, I feel like a lot of this actually makes sense though, right? Mm-hmm. Reduce the number of products, reduce the number mm-hmm. of SKUs out there, consolidate down to these just handful of buying options, and it makes it easy for everybody, right? But
step three, profit.
I feel like they move that up to step two.
Right. We have underpants and now straight to profit. It's amazing. Synergism. That's just, yeah.
But yeah, like the communication was terrible. I mean, I still understand.
It hasn't
gotten better. Yeah. Like, I understand they have to dissolve the old legal entities because they dissolved the old legal entity, right? So the contracts have to change. But like the wording around it, like, we've switched it to invite only, that put people into a panic, right? Like, what do you mean? I might not actually be able to run my business tomorrow. That's crazy, right? And like to your point, Tim, the products, it makes sense. You know, let's consolidate. Let's, because like trying to figure out what you wanted in each product from VMware before, that got tough, right? The basic products, that was easy. Okay, I need, you know, vSphere, blah, blah, blah. That's easy. When you're like, I need, you know, vRealize Network Insight, and how does that build into my other products? That got harder to figure out. Now it's a little easier. To a degree, right?
Well, and if you're all partners or have been on the partner side, so you've seen that price list, and just sometimes going through the old SKU list, it's like, okay, well, I need this particular version, but then you look for it and there's 18 different things that mm-hmm. are the same thing, and it's not always clear which one is which. I mean, you know, the simplification, you know, like you guys said, makes a lot of sense. It makes it easier for partners. It makes it easier for the Broadcom, you know, sales teams to get in and, you know, transact and sell. But, you know, again, the timing around this and going back to the whole partner program thing, right? You know, those partner contracts were, you know, people built their businesses around them, and you come in and go, hey, in less than 30 days, you're not going to be a partner anymore. That's kind of a problem, because now you have customers that are, you know, trying to buy. You have this, you know, what you thought was an agreement and a business plan, and there's no runway to adjust. There's no time to pivot your business or to, you know, train your field to be able to go out and do things under the new entity. You don't know what it is, other than it may be something you'll find out. Is, you know, if I were a partner, I would be very uncomfortable with that. But at the same time, I would have to adjust, because my customers would still, you know, need to buy VMware because they'll have renewals coming up. So, but mm-hmm. yeah.
I think the interesting, you know, caveat to all of this is that it's very personal, right? And because of what we talked about earlier, we all started our careers on VMware back in the day, you know, maybe 2.0 or 2.5, or I think I came in at like 2.5, right? With Virtual Center, and played around with the VMware server too on Windows. And so like, I'm so invested in it that it is more personal than any business decision really should be. And I don't think any technology change out there has really like caused this much issue in, well, I mean, it's the whole reason there is a virtualization community, right? Essentially VMware.
I mean, look at how many of us, not, I mean, VMUG chapters and all of the community, and like the number of people that we have that we can all instantly dig through our you know, Rolodex of network on LinkedIn, that we could say, yep, I like met every one of these people because of VMware or at a VMworld or at a VMUG event.
Yeah.
Looking back to, I don't know, probably like December, I think that's been kind of the most soul crushing part about this. Number one, the people that were not very connected on the community or were small to medium sized businesses that probably didn't have like the greatest relationship with the VAR, that they just got quotes and bought stuff. Seeing the number of people on that dumpster fire of a town hall that we had for VMUG, where it seemed like people had just in the last few days discovered like, what is this thing about an acquisition, and I can't buy a product anymore. But then, yeah, seeing on Reddit or some of the blog posts of people that are giving their like, hey, here's farewell to 20 years of my career that I was doing virtualization. And this is the first time I've actually agreed with people that were upset that a free product was like going away. I'm like, ooh, yeah. Like seeing that free ESXi is gone, and reading that KB article that got posted up, I was like, I feel like the person that posted that had to be tearing up a little bit writing that thing, or was under duress.
No, I think it's probably good to mention, since you mentioned VMUG and that dumpster fire of a town hall, right? Like if you're listening to this and you're not aware, VMUG is still alive, separate entity. They still have VMUG Advantage, the licenses and all that. Broadcom is telling them that's not going away. So if you do hop on another VMUG call, don't attack the VMUG people and start asking them why Broadcom's doing all these things. Like,
we're along for the ride too, yeah, right?
So
yeah, if nothing else, realize we are volunteers and a lot of us potentially might legitimately, to Tim's point, be a little bit more upset than y'all are, because to us it's not just the cost or the business or what's happening to us on the partner side. Like, this is a thing that we have invested years of our lives into the community and making friendships around this that would never have happened. And most of us would, even if we were still in technology in some different fashion, if VMware never existed, I don't think many of us would be where we are or have gone as far in our careers without the community that was built around the technology. Right. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing that we're, I couldn't imagine what tech would be without it, you know?
Yeah. This podcast wouldn't have existed. We wouldn't know each other, more than likely, if it hadn't been for VMware, because for me, the transition is I wouldn't be part of anything to probably do with Veeam. They might be backing up something else, might be a product for something completely different. But without VMware and my journey of running a VMware environment, learning about that community, moving into using a backup product like Veeam, then I've got the Veeam community as well. And that's a new community. We wouldn't have each other without VMware.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree. I like that town hall, I think, goes to show how poor the communication was out there, because I know people who joined that town hall because they're like, hey, I can actually find out some information here, because they didn't know what VMUG was. They didn't know necessarily that it's completely independent. So they jumped in, and you could tell by the questions being asked, they had no idea that VMUG wasn't going to answer their questions about what their license renewal cost is going to be, or why it's going to, you know, they're forced into these packages. People had no idea.
We failed everyone. They had no idea what it was.
And I don't mean that people had no idea what VMUG was, but there's a lot of people that joined that call that were looking for information from Broadcom that joined like any boat in a storm kind of thing, right?
Look, I mean, up until that point, really everybody had what, Reddit and occasional kind of shit post on the register.
Yeah.
That's about mm-hmm. it. Right. Speaking of which, how is that investment in Proxmox coming along, Tim? I see that posted like daily.
Yeah, right. Like everybody's like, there was what, the register, but it was based off a whole register article based off of like one comment in the Veeam forum post that I think Ghostev said, like, we're looking into options or something. It's like the most open-ended thing, and everybody has just ran with it. That's how much this Broadcom thing has affected everybody. They hear, so I see on Reddit all the time, a lot of people are like, you know, well, we're going to decide where we're going when we figure out what Veeam is going to support, which for working for Veeam, that's like really cool that these technical people are making decisions on their hypervisor based on their backup software. But yeah, it's also interesting to see a lot of people are, yeah, they're so desperate for something else that they're going to take these rumors, you know, and these open-ended, like, I would assume that every backup vendor out there is probably researching multiple hypervisors at this point. But I mean, everybody just wants to, it seems like rats leaving a sinking ship, right? But the ship isn't sinking. And I think that's the disturbing part of all of this.
Well, and too many people are entirely overly influenced, I think, by what this is doing to their business and thinking that it's got to be the same for everybody. Like, VMware is not going anywhere. I know a few government data centers where I had installed VMware and Veeam for some internal project stuff that just got upgraded to ESXi 6.0 last year. Like, there are environments where this stuff is not going away for a long, long, long time. And especially for the Fortune 50, Fortune 100 companies, they're going to potentially have to redeploy a handful of products and relicense stuff. That's it. Which I mean, it sucks. Yeah. And a lot of people are going to say like, oh, you know, down with Broadcom because they only care about the top, you know, X percent or number of customers or whatever it is. And sometimes that's how business works, but VMware cannot just like disappear overnight, you know?
Yeah.
Like
it's not going anywhere. Right. Because it is in some ways the operating system of the modern enterprise, right? Forget Linux, forget Windows, forget all that, right? Everybody, like all the critical workloads on-prem in the data center run on VMware. It is the backbone really of enterprise IT. So yeah, it's not going anywhere. And, you know, a lot of, I think, you know, the people who are upset right now, it really, I think it comes down to more just, again, how quickly this change is coming about and the fact that they haven't had time to process and adapt to it. It's more that, I think, than anger about the price, anger about the change in the licensing model or the SKUs that they can buy. I mean, there are valid points to some of the things that have been brought up, but really, I think it just comes down to people haven't had time to process this yet, because this is a big change. You know, Joe, you had mentioned, and Tim, you had mentioned too, about how personal this is because of the community. And I think that's, I agree. I think that's driving a lot of it. But when everybody finally takes a step back, if they actually, you know, put on their business hat or their architect hat, they actually start thinking about this as a compelling event and looking at things, looking at their backup software and all their processes in place, they're going to realize, yeah, Proxmox is cool for my home lab. We probably can't go to that because we have these requirements, or, you know, we need to be able to restore this VM from 7 years ago. We just can't do that with Proxmox. So either we have to wait for something to support it to do that, or we just have to pay the piper.
Yeah, I mean, to Tim's point, there have been a couple of posts recently that I really had not thought about it from this aspect, but just sometimes the literal cost and resource investment from companies when they pick a vendor that they, not that they're held hostage, but they just don't have the capabilities to move off. I mean, seeing a couple posts in the VMware subreddit this week where people said, we're not moving to anything other than what can be supported by Veeam because we just renewed a 5-year contract with them. And it's like, oh yeah. Like that's, you know, thinking about not only the data protection, but just the, yeah, we just spent enough money last year on one product that like we're, the entire suite is kind of stuck together because we don't have money to go refactor everything or rebuy every product.
Yeah. If you just, you know, if you just dumped a bunch of coin on Pure Storage arrays, and then you're not going to switch over to Nutanix AHV. Like you can't, there's no extra, right? There's still no external storage supported, right? With AHV.
Nope.
Yeah. I don't think there is. So
it's now, I'll just say I had to go research this for a white paper. I just had to finish. They've actually updated it now for at least ESXi on Nutanix hardware.
Oh,
they actually show now that it is not recommended, but it's no longer not supported. So I think they're getting pushed in a direction because of the whole partnership with Cisco and Cisco killing off HyperFlex. Yeah.
But on the AHV side, there's still no, right. Yeah.
No, so, I think that would be a super smart move for them. If they would allow for external storage, there would be like so many people that would just go jump on that platform, or at least would consider it that are not currently.
I think the Prism UI is probably one of the better UIs out there for all of virtualization. I'll say that. Like there's a long history that we all know here about Nutanix and VMware, right? But I will say that the Prism UI was the right way to go for them.
Absolutely.
And we could talk hours and hours on Nutanix and VMware. But
yeah.
Honestly, I
just went and redeployed one of my rack servers in my basement to Proxmox, what, maybe a month ago or 6 weeks ago, just to get in and play around with it. I had it running nested for a while just to play with it and do stuff. And I think I'm actually going to convert my host that's running my Plex and pirated stuff setup over to that.
I will say
Somebody had just asked about XCPNG this week, and yeah, I didn't realize it has a limit of like 2 terabyte for a virtual hard disk. I was like, oh,
now you're going to make me think of my VCP days. So one thing about the acquisition, I think that is an unintended good thing for all of us in the community, is it's making us look at other technologies. To your point, Joe, like, I redeployed Nutanix Community Edition nested in my lab. I've deployed Proxmox and set up a 3-node cluster with Ceph on there for shared storage. I was looking at
XCPNG.
Thank you. As much as I worked with Zen Server in the past and absolutely hated it. So I'm keeping at arm's bay a little bit, but it's forcing me to look again and step outside my comfort zone and touch new technologies and, you know, learn something else. It's fun.
Likewise for me, like, I started looking at Apache Cloud Stack the other day, as a cloud director alternative. And it actually looks decent because it also branches out to the underlying platform. So it'll support VMware, KVM, and a few of those other players underneath. But then it'll also support NSX. But that's the piece that's missing. If I was to go to something else as a cloud provider, I'm still missing that NSX piece that fits underneath, that would come with Cloud Director, NSX, then vSphere underneath. Like, it just doesn't, there is always going to be that missing piece that you don't get with the VMware stack, which is unfortunate. But I'm still looking at these other alternatives, as you say. Like, we're branching out, we're learning more. What could we be doing with Kubernetes more, potentially? There's a lot of technologists out there that move on from just looking at VMware, and have now gone Kubernetes, and then I'm looking at Talos and all these other smaller technologies that we haven't spent time on. It's like, in my situation, if I was to look at cost, if we had to move away from VMware and we had to look at what's cost saving, we're licensed for Zen Server. We did that as a small setup for a customer, specifically in our infrastructure. But we're licensed for it, but we wouldn't move to it because of our Veeam stack that we've got, because we're selling Cloud Connect to customers. We're doing 365 backup. There's an ecosystem there. The cost to then change Veeam as well, like you said before, it's a massive ecosystem that we have to then adjust and work with. But then again, let's go look at Zerto, or I go look at another AFI or something like that to replace those. More technologies, but then it gets messy because I've got to have this now, this specific product. I've got to have this product. And yeah, piecing it all together, you just don't get the holistic that that VMware had created. So
agreed.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, as a service provider, you can host everything on VMware. Like, you don't have to shift to the other hypervisors to capture the market, right? Because everybody uses VMware. But I think circling back a little bit to Tim's point, not only does it force us to look at different technologies, and we all have, but I think it'll be a good thing for the market as a whole. You know, maybe not immediately, but in a few years, as you get these other players coming along going, hey, I actually need to up my game and try to compete and try to get this market share. We're going to see VMware market share dwindle because people will have to move off, right? And people are going to start exploring these other hypervisor platforms, and those platforms are going to have to get the ecosystem support there. People are going to hopefully get more choice, and choice is a good thing. It forces people to compete, and it forces us to get better product. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'd agree. And it feels like, you know, VMware had such a dominant technology position because what they originally built was good, and they built a good ecosystem around it, both with acquisitions for things like NSX and the technology behind vSAN and vRealize Aria, or, you know, whatever they're going to rename it to next week. And they built a community of vendors around it as well. And I think so we all just got really comfortable with it because we never had a reason to really look at anything else because it solved all those problems. And, you know, again, this acquisition is kind of a compelling event for us to all go back and look and see, oh, what else is out there? What else can I do with what's out there in the technology space? And 18 months, things will probably start looking differently. You know, the SMB side of this, they're going to be forced to move off to something new. There's going to start being money there to drive new products and new ecosystems or new partners. I remember way back in the day, I think it was when I first started doing, you know, virtualization, 2010, 2012, Veeam was kind of that small business product. Today it's not. Today it does a lot more than that. And, you know, it feels like it kind of grew from there, from at least when I touched it. So, you know, I think 18 months we'll see it driven by the SMB space. And then, you know, from there, who knows where it'll go. And eventually maybe there will be two or three things that actually, you know, forces competition in this space.
Yeah. And it's really funny to look at like where a lot of us were when we came into VMware. And I mean, even just remembering back to like the early certifications and actually having to like remember the minimums and maximums, but that
2 terabyte minus 512B.
Right. But some of that being functional stuff that we actually had to deal with like in operation. So it's not like you were just memorizing a table. And I look at things now and I'm like, man, it's easy because it got so commoditized that like anybody can pick it up and just kind of figure their way through it on the fly. Going back to something like Proxmox, you know, like when I went and deployed that, I was like, yeah, I don't really like the networking options here. And it was like, oh, cool. You can plug in Open vSwitch. And I was like, ooh, awesome. But man, I need to actually remember how to like define my configs in a text file again and get it right. Otherwise your host is dead and you have to like reboot and try it again. You know, I feel bad for a lot of the folks that came into vSphere in its, you know, supremacy of the last, you know, 15 to 20 years that got to have the easy button of just here's a platform that does all the things that I can just kind of click around and figure my way through it, that now have to go back and learn a lot of things without ever having to do a lot of it. I mean, seeing that some of the like community college courses that are the same things most of us would have gone through back in the day no longer include things like the OSI model or like troubleshooting. I'm like, wow, how do you function without that?
You know what it made me think of? I saw a video on Instagram, all places, Joe. And I don't know if it was staged or, you know, to be funny or if it was real, but it captioned that this 18, 19 year old had only driven Teslas. And so they get into a car, car.
She like had no idea what the two pedals were for, right?
Yeah. Two pedals, like what's the mirrors and like everything was different. And that's what I thought of when you were talking about you felt sorry for the people who came into the VMware during the supremacy. You know, I mean, like, think about it. You're 20 years old. You've only driven Teslas. And then you get into a 1992 Honda Civic manual.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you do? And somebody tells you need to change the oil. And you're like, what the heck is oil?
Just even go one step further. Somebody tells you to get the car going and what's that grinding sound? What's the third pedal for?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, on that, it's like people I see still talking about the days that are using Solaris and Novell and TCP IP and all of those things that they had to do as part of how they were brought up in their technology space. And it's just as simple as clicking, right clicking, going troubleshoot, and it automatically troubleshoots everything for you for your network and whatnot these days. But I see people, because I was in the middle of that, of when I came into my technology land space. Novell was being run out, and so it was Server 2008, Server 2003, that sort of era. And a lot of that manual work had been sort of removed and made easy. But then I see people coming in now, just as you say, it's even easier for them to do touchless software. They don't understand the basic fundamentals. It just so happened that I was in a place that I was able to talk to mentors and that had gone through that, in which, we had to do OSI level. That's this specific thing. These are the issues that we had at the time. We don't have that anymore because there's new technology that replaces this. Like the old crossover cables that we used to have for networking and that's all being removed. And then you look at today and you go, it's just so easy, but also hard when you actually have an issue.
Well, I think you see a lot of administrators now, there is an easy button for everything. You don't have to dig in, but the people that still separate themselves are the ones that will dig in and will try to really understand what is going on when I click, the easy button here. How does that all work together? And those are the guys that you love having on your team, right? Because that's where you get the real gems.
Well, it's like Linux, for example. There's a lot of people who are using Linux desktop because they're like, yeah, Linux is a cool thing to do and that. They just use the desktop, but it's all GUI-based. And then they go, yeah, I know Linux. And then get given a headless server. How do they go, oh, it's all command line. Where do I click? It's and understanding that. Whereas those who started back in the day with Linux were, well, we've got to compile every little piece before we can use it. And we have to type out this little command to do the basic things.
Kieran's just still trying to make Linux desktop cool. It ain't happening, buddy.
Oh, is it the year of the Linux desktop?
It will
well, you we get just to reset the counter on when is the year of VDI. We get to start it all over again for the next, 12, 15 years.
Hey, look, I could join the call, so that's a start.
Oh, too funny. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like for a lot of us, us digging into our old school of our careers is like people actually trying to, some people trying to remember, most people remembering their original like IRC, servers that they were on or ICQ numbers.
Yeah.
But yeah, the number of people I've seen that have started throwing around token ring again, or like what their Novell, cert numbers were, I'm like, oh my gosh, I keep waiting to see an announcement from Meetup that like somebody's going to start up a new VMS group or like an OS2 warp group is going to come back, right? Or we're going to have Solaris user groups getting spun up again because now they could just come back into it.
Well, you can get open VMS community edition, run it as a VM, bring back those memories.
I can run Windows XP as a VM. Actually, I just find them out in the wild.
Oh yeah, right.
I'm sure Joe has an NT4 ISO sitting around somewhere.
I do.
Are those still available with the Visual Studio, formerly MSDN, subscription? Can you go back that far? Now I'm curious. I think we basically all just said how old we are now. It's like, back in my day, we had to put network termination connectors on. Like, yeah.
I still have a stack of Windows floppies somewhere in my basement. So, yeah. I don't think I even have like a USB floppy drive in anywhere in my ancient inventory of stuff anymore. But
come on. You don't have your boxes of network cables and USB things and serial cables.
I didn't say that. I said I don't have a USB floppy anymore. I still legitimately have probably 50 like Cisco console cables that I could pull out in an instant with 18 different flavors of USB to serial adapters, right? Yeah, that I've got for days.
I have a Cisco. If you see right behind me, this blue Cisco console cable right there.
Yep.
There you go.
Look at that. Look at that.
Yes, I have a real live zip drive sitting in my server closet.
Is that an IDE ribbon cable connection?
That is an IDE ribbon cable zip drive.
Dude. Wow.
Nice. So,
how many pin were they? Those ones. Because it was 40 pin, wasn't it, for the CD drives? But the
80 pin for one SCSI, right?
Oh, yeah. Shame. We need to study this because it'll be on the test.
memories. I remember, you know, back when one of the VARs I worked with, they had a college student come in that was going to be around and, you know, learn some things and whatnot. And one of the guys that worked there brought an old computer out and flipped all the dip switches wrong and set it in front of him. It's like, okay, now go ahead and make it boot. And it was a terrible test because it didn't prove anything, right? The college kid was like, what in the world? Because, you know, it had already been way too long for dip switches to be a thing on motherboards for this guy to know anything about. But man, I feel like there was so much options in hardware then. And now it's just like, oh, hey, you plug it in.
Did they at least give him the motherboard manual? Because if they didn't, that's just cruel.
They did. Yeah. They were at least nice.
Okay.
Right, but you know, since they didn't open up on their Kindle, they were still lost. So,
oh, yeah. Clearly, yes.
It's one of my favorite quotes from the movie WALL-E. Right, Manuel, relay instructions. Like, oh, we got to open the book. Well, Kieran, what do you think? Yeah. Oh, we got. Are we recording? Are we?
Yeah, we.
Somebody smashed the button, right?
Even so, I think it was a great chat. Well, I didn't write a wrap-up script for this, but guys, I would like to thank you all for joining for this. It was somewhat last minute. Hopefully, we can plan a little bit better. But you know, got to start the thing, and we did. And yeah. Certainly look forward to more discussions. So Joe, Tyler, Sean, Tim, thank you for joining. And thank you, community, for sitting and listening for this long. I didn't check the timer, but it's definitely been an hour. So it's with that, anyone that's listening wants to come and join, have a chat about any topic, we can dive into the OSI model and what our favorite layer was in that. But feel free, jump on to vcommunity.io, join our Discord. If you get in the middle of a discussion and go, hey, this would be a great podcast, also join. Just let us know and we can certainly host it. You can host it yourself and we're happy to promote for you. But this is all about the community. What you're doing in the community, how you feel about the community, what's happening. Just come and have a chat.
Is this where we ask people to like and subscribe?
Smash that like button.
and leave a comment for the algorithm.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Cool. With that, guys, thank you again.
What's the website? This. Where do they go? Don't forget to drop it. Drop the link.
Only farm stuff fans.
Joe, you're all about the link.
Yeah. Come on, man.
It's vcommunity.io. That name again, vcommunity.io. Thanks, guys. Have a great week. Have a great day. All the best.
Just randomly throughout the podcast, Tim will be like, don't forget to hit record.
All right, there's a bloopers bit at the end of the recording. That's going. Tim asking if you recorded it. All right. Cool. Welcome to the community, V community. All right.
There's no recovery now.